Now, let me introduce you to a man who, if you think to yourself, oh, I can't be bothered, why should I? Oh, dear me, it's too much of an effort. Well, maybe this man will change your mind. He certainly changed mine, as I looked at his website this morning and indeed read a good part of his story. He's Tony Giles. Now, Tony Giles has been backpacking around West Africa. He's walked across the border at Mali and ended up in the middle of a military coup. He's from Weston-super-Mare. All this doesn't sound particularly extraordinary. Well, it is, if you consider that Tony is totally blind and without his hearing aids, virtually deaf. He joins me here in the studio this morning. Morning to you, Tony.
Morning, John.
Would that be right? Am I right? You are totally blind.
I'm totally blind.
Can you see light or not?
Yeah, I got sun. I can see sunlight, but no shapes or shadows anymore.
Right.
I could when I was little. But,
so your sight has gone as you've grown up?
Yeah, the condition's always been the same, but the sensitivity of light I had has disappeared.
What about your hearing? Was that the same?
No, I went deaf when I was six, and it slowly got worse. I'm now 80% deaf, or they call it severely deaf these days.
Right.
Without my hearing aids. With my hearing aids one-on-one, I've got about 85%.
That's
and then
good,
it gets more difficult with background noise, obviously.
So, introducing other noises and what have you. So, if I was to put a backing track on underneath what we're talking about here.
Yeah, or in a pub scene, in a group scene, it gets more difficult.
Yeah.
But the digital hearing aids help a lot. They cut down a lot on background noise.
What caused this?
Don't know. Genetic. I've got a very rare genetic condition with my eye condition.
Yeah.
One gene from each parent. I just roll of the dice.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in my family. But beyond that, they don't really know.
So you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, both older.
So you were the youngest?
I'm the youngest by 6 years, yeah.
And they don't have the same problems that you have?
No, there's no one in my family with it.
Well, so, I mean, I say the word problems, Tony. Of course, I mean, they're not, are they? Because you've made absolutely certain that they're not problems. Where does that come from? Does that come from your family, or does it come from, you know, blow this for a game of soldiers, I'm not letting this get me down?
I think it comes from my mum. Really, having, obviously, my brother and sister. So once I came along, once they knew I had an eye problem, she could tell everything else-wise. I was just like them. I was intelligent as them. So I was allowed to run around the street and that from the age of 4 or 5 and mix with other children. I think largely it came from my education, though, going to school with other disabled children. I went to school in Bristol from the age of 5 and I mixed with other children with other disabilities. So it was a combination of that. And then when I went to Coventry when I was 10, because I needed more specialist education,
yeah.
I needed to learn mobility, braille, etc. My mobility officer was determined that I would be independent and go down the shops and... And it was just that then.
The perception, though, Tony Giles, is that people will think, well, you want to be independent. People who suffer the same form of challenges that you suffered as a child, becoming blind, becoming deaf, which is how the majority of people, it happens to them. It's not something that, you know, they're born with. There are those who are born, you know, with those circumstances, but for most people it's an acquired condition. It creeps up on you, or it happens as a result of an accident or some form of catastrophe. Is that the best you can hope with is to live an independent life, to be as independent as possible? That's what you aspire to do.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine that's what Coventry was all about, teaching you how to be that independent person.
Yeah, I had that drive because I wanted to be, I considered my brother and sister normal, and I wanted to be like them when I was little. And then I realised that as I got older and I met people with other disabilities, it didn't matter that what you had, it was what you did with it and the opportunities you got and what you turned them into.
What is normal? Tell me what you think normal is.
Normal. Anything you want it to be.
See, that's why I thought I'd ask you the question, because you know, talking to a man who has 80% deaf without his hearing aids, who's blind, I can see, I can hear, although I can't hear particularly well in one ear, but I can hear.
Yeah.
I wear glasses. You know, is that normal? Yeah. Am I normal? You know, what separates you and me from being normal? Because I haven't done the things that you've done.
No. We're all individuals.
Yeah.
And it's what's inside. I'm physically blind, I'm totally blind and I'm partially deaf, and they're physical attributes. But it's not them that stop me from doing things, or it's not really the physicalness that stops me, it's really inside the head.
I wonder whether sometimes, Tony, it is other people going, let's say, for example, you say, I want to go backpacking. The very first time you went out on a trip, that there were people who would say to you, Tony, Are you out of your mind? You're blind, for goodness sake. You can't do this. You're deaf. You won't be able to hear what's going on. You're going to be, you know, all the reasons why you can't do something. You must have had that.
Of course. Yeah, I still get it.
I bet you do. But the first time, the very first time.
Yeah.
What was the deciding factor for you to say, no, I'm not going to listen to these people. I'm going to do it.
I think that's just partly born within it. It's kind of stubbornness and kind of wanted to prove to myself that I could do things, wanted to prove to others, and being encouraged by the teachers that I could do things.
So where was your first trip?
First trip was, went to America with the school when I was 15, 16.
Yeah.
So that having that opportunity of going abroad to a different country, that was the first kind of a trip, I guess, abroad.
I'm fascinated to know this. If I were to go to America, I could hear it, I could see it, I could taste it, I could smell it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it. So no. what was different about being in America than being, you know, living in West, growing up in West-Supermare or being at school in Coventry? What was different?
Being exposed to a different culture, people who spoke slightly differently and did things that slightly differently, the way they approach you, you know, I've always grown up in England, people are quite more reserved, more not necessarily so forthcoming. And I've always been quite noisy and loud and quite, you speak and you make noises and you kind of do that a bit more when you've got a disability. And I go to America and people just come up to you and speak to you.
So a different attitude.
A different attitude. And also, you're aware of space. You become aware of space when you're blind. You're much more aware of your surroundings. You know, if you're walking down a street, you can tell that the pavement's quite narrow by your feet, but also by your skin. And then walking down, we went to Boston for a week, and the expansiveness of the pavements is just, you know, it's almost
something
like going
that
to London for
that me being a sighted traveller, I probably wouldn't even notice. But the difference, I mean, America is bigger.
Yeah, it's
so
bigger.
You go. I've been to America, I've been to South Africa, and I've been to Australia. Everything there is bigger than it is here in the UK. Bigger sky and a bigger feeling of space than, because of course the countries are bigger.
And the toilets are massive. You spend an hour in the toilet.
That's true. Yes, more space.
Indeed.
I mean, you've travelled around the world. You've been everywhere. You had a kidney transplant in
2008. End of 2008 in Bristol. Yeah.
So, nothing stops you. Not even a kidney transplant.
No. I mean, the more experiences you have, you know, it changes your perception of yourself and life and the world around you. I was very lucky that when I went to Coventry, I met other children with different disability. One of my best friends had muscular dystrophy. So I learned from a very young age that being blind and being deaf wasn't the be-all and end-all. It wasn't the biggest challenge.
Clearly isn't, because, I mean, you are literally a blind, deaf backpacker.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Which are three phrases that should not fit together in the same sentence, but they do. So when you hear people saying to you, you can't do this, now you have done this, you shouldn't be doing this, yet you have done this. Yeah. You've been all over the world, from Canada to America to all continents of the world.
It's about mindset. It's about confidence and getting confidence and doing something well and doing it well and doing it again, and people encourage you. It's about mindset. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I think, oh, I'm not feeling too good, I don't really want to do this, and sometimes I won't, but other days I'll wake up and think, right, where am I going today, what am I doing today? And sometimes it can be as simple as that. It's just, the disability is largely mental, even though mine is actually physical.
Yeah, I was going to say, yours is actually quite physical because
but
you can't see.
It's the mental attitude and how you feel. And a lot of people with physical disability will be able to relate to that.
So the kidney transplant hasn't stopped you. What would stop you going, I don't know, pick somewhere in the world. Antarctica, would you go there?
I've been.
Oh, right, sorry. Just thinking of extreme places that you could go to. So, if it wasn't Antarctica, where else could you go? Where is one place you feel that you couldn't go?
Well, I can't go to the moon at the moment. I mean, obviously there are countries that are in the middle of wars. Mm. I mean, Syria would be out at the moment. Mm. And I think the older you get, when I was 21, 22, I had no fears. I bungee jumped, skydived, didn't... Yes, I didn't have any worries. I mean,
I was looking at pictures of you bungee jumping.
Yeah,
funnily enough,
was crazy. And I think the older you get, and you do realise, you know, I've got a girlfriend now, So things do become a bit more important. And so maybe I wouldn't, although I did end up in a coup in Mali, but I might have gone to a war zone if I'd have been 21, 22, which I may not do now.
And where next? Where are you going to travel next?
My girlfriend and I are planning on going to Ecuador for 2 or 3 weeks in September.
Wow.
So...
And from your point of view, your girlfriend, can she see? Is she?
No, she's totally blind as well.
She's totally blind as well.
And she's Greek.
Right. So you've had to learn a new language.
Yeah. Although her English is better than mine.
Yeah, always, as is always the way.
Yeah.
From the point of view of people listening to you this morning, Tony Giles, who will... And I'm guilty of this, who will think of reasons not to do something rather than reasons to do something. And you seem to be in the reasons to do something. What would you say to me and the other listener right now who might try and stop things from happening because they've got excuses?
Sorry, just speak up again?
Try and stop people from having excuses.
Life is very short and you have to live it to the full. I've written a book about my experiences. Mm-hmm. It was really my mum's idea, but to try and inspire people, not necessarily to have to go around the world and do crazy things like I did, but that it just says to people that whatever your disability is, you can overcome or at least attempt to overcome your challenges, your fears, whatever they are, whether it's making a cup of tea or just getting out of the house to go down the street to the shops or something. Often, the biggest challenge is getting out the front door. People ask me, do I get scared if I go travelling? And I get nervous and very uncomfortable before every trip.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting older, my skills are not as good as they used to be. But once I'm moving, once I'm on the plane or the train, and I'm in my area, and I...
You're inspirational.
Yeah.
Tony Giles, you are inspirational. Tony Giles, blind, independent traveller. Website is tonythetraveller.com. That's the website, isn't it?
Yeah, my book is Seeing the World My Way. It's published by Silverwood in Bristol.
Yeah.
And it's available in bookstores and the web and the usual places.
All good bookshops and a few bad ones as well. Tony Giles, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you very much indeed. Tony Giles there. I just give you that website again, tonythetraveller.com, if you're listening and you want to punch that into a search engine of your choice.